Okay, let's see about the other side of the equation. Okay, what would that look like?
I'm sitting here in a professional training session where Rodney Cox is talking about strengths and how they play out in the workplace and how differences play out, both good and bad. It's interesting, isn't it, that we, in the professional context, in our workplace, in our careers, we put a lot of time and energy into learning new skills and developing those strengths that we have and applying them so that we can do the best we can in our jobs. But we don't tend to do the same thing at home, and we don't tend to do the same thing in our marriage. We don't think in terms of, how do my strengths play out in our relationship, both strengths in terms of helping the relationship, and also the frustration and difficulty of differences and how those differences can create a challenge for our marriage. Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner, your host, and I want to introduce you to two of my friends who are experts in this area of strengths and differences and how they can play out in the context of the home. First, I want to share a portion of a presentation that Dr. John Trent gave at Lakewood Church, where he talks about personality differences. He references a lion and a beaver and an otter and a golden retriever, and you'll hear more about that and how these animals kind of reflect our personality differences and how that affects how we relate to one another in the home. And then I want to bring you into my office, where I had a conversation with Rodney Cox, who is doing this seminar I'm attending, where we talk about specifically how this plays out in marriage and some ideas on how we can take next steps so that our strengths and our differences become an asset rather than a liability in our relationships. But let's start out by listening to Dr. John Trent as he talks about strengths at home.
I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2.5 months old. I never met my dad till I was in high school. When I did meet my dad, he was an angry alcoholic, and I used to hate my dad. And then I became a Christian, and I just intensely disliked him. And so it actually took me years before I was able to forgive him and realize, well, no wonder he bailed out on our family and the next family he was a part of and the next family he was a part of. I mean, that's what his dad had done to him. And unfortunately, I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I wish like crazy we had gone to an awesome church like this. I mean, the closest I ever got to church was when there were three of us under two when my dad left. How do you get three under two? I'm a twin, so you have to get a multiple in there somehow, you know. So twins and my older brother, and dad bails out, and we grow up, and we were so incorrigible that my mom finally put us in a Missouri Synod Lutheran grade school. Have you ever heard of Missouri Synod? How tight can you screw down the screws? And I'm ashamed to say that in fifth grade, we not only stole the chocolate milk, we stole the chocolate milk machine, and we're kicked out of Christ Lutheran grade school. Okay, so. But let me ask you a question. So that's my background. But can God change the pictures of your life story? Can he? Absolutely. Okay. Now, let me prove it to you. I come to know the Lord Jesus, and so did my brother, and so did my mom, and so did my older brother. And things began to change in our home. And even though we didn't come from the best of backgrounds, all of a sudden we could go to God's Word and figure out how to do it. And this is the absolute truth. Guess who called me three summers ago? We have a small ministry, strongfamilies.com, and we are so small that I took myself out for National Secretary's Day. That's how small we are. So I'm the one that picks up the phone a lot of times. And I pick up the phone three summers ago, and guess who's on the phone? This is no kidding. It's a lady from the National Lutheran Religious Educators Conference, and they want me to speak at their conference. And I said to her, I go, "You're not Missouri Synod, are you?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I go, "I'll do it." You know, and I didn't tell them until I got there that they had kicked me out of their grade school. But when I started my talk, I said, "I'm back," you know. So now I'd like to share with you just real quickly, biblically, guess what the word for life is? The word for life in Greek, the language of the New Testament, is the word zoe, and that was my mom's name. So is that cool? My mom's name meant life. And that's the kind of person that she was. An awesome single parent, wonderful mom. But what the word life literally means in the Bible, watch, look up here. This is what it means. It means to what? It means to move toward someone. So think about that. When you're adding life to your relationships, then you're moving toward someone. You're getting moving, okay? Now, the word in Greek for death, guess what it means? To step back, to move back, separation, isolation. And so the bottom line is, when we move toward each other, we move toward life. Now, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, there's a great passage that talks about the fact that we're not all eyes, we're not all ears, we all have different gifts, different abilities. But in verse 18, it says that God has placed us in the body right where he wants us to be. And I think by application, that's absolutely true with our family as well. So the Lord places us with people that sometimes are different than us in terms of characteristics. So for those of you that are married here, how many of you married an opposite? Who's here that married somebody that's pretty different than you in terms of temperament and personality? Okay, all right. Now, my wife Cindy and I are we're opposite in a lot of ways. We're very different. I'm right-handed. She's left-handed. I'm a night person. She's a morning person. I'm more of a spender. Thankfully, Cindy's more of a saver, okay? I want the toilet, Cindy wants the toilet paper to go off the top of the roll, you know? I just want it there. I don't really care as long as it's there. And yet what Almighty God did is he placed us right with each other. So there are some of you in this room tonight that are like lions. Okay, now who are the lions that are in here? These are the people that are pretty take charge, fairly assertive. All right, if you have a lion child that you dropped off at the kids' place, okay, those are the kids that are letting you live at home. I mean, have you noticed that? That's because they're the boss. They take charge. So they're great people. When they grow up, who do they tend to be? The lions. The boss, or at least they think they are, you know? So they're great people. These are the people that think that stoplights are a tool of Satan. Have you noticed that? Who's been on a vacation with a lion driving the car? Anybody? Do they ever stop the car? No. Keep the car moving. Because if they ever stop the car, then all the people they've been passing start passing them, you know. And they have to get back in the car and chase them because it's competition. So they're great people. Anybody have a lion teenager, okay? They're the ones that get energy arguing with you. Have you noticed that? You can be in an argument with a lion child and you're all disheveled and they're going, that was a good one, you know. So they're real strong, you know. Great people. Well, then some of you here tonight are like otters. Okay, now who are the otters in here? Otters are the people that love to what? Yuck, 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 yuck. Okay. Why does the average otter come to a service like this? Is it to learn anything? No, it's because there's people there. You know, they get to drive with people and they get to meet new people. When I had you stand up and meet, you know, three people, I mean, the lions are going, get moving. Well, yeah, what's the matter? But the otters love that. They know thousands of people. Otters do. They just don't know anybody's name. Have you noticed that? Yeah. But that's okay because you live in Texas and everybody can be cowboy. Hey, cowboy. Hey, cowgirl. Hey, cowboy. And so you just call them bro. They'll call you bro. Hey, bro. But these are great people. They love to start things. Start, 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 start. They don't finish very much, but they love to start things, you know. And that's why they don't balance these people. Do they balance otters, fun-loving, enthusiastic otters? Do they balance the checkbook to the penny, otters? No, they just what? They just switch banks, you know. And now, come on, who's done that? Let me see your hands. Yes, yes, several hands. And that's great because then they get to finally figure out, you know, what their balance is, and they get a new checkbook cover and meet some new people. And so they're great people. Otter teenagers, these are the ones that start their term paper, the big one, when? The night before. Why hurry? But they're great people. And then there's some of you in here that God has given us the strength where we're more like golden retrievers. And these are the people that tend to be very sensitive, very caring. very compassionate, okay? These are the people that tend to buy 18 to 20 boxes of Girl Scout cookies every year because it's genetically impossible to say one small but very important word. What is it? No, really hard to say no. But they're great people. They're great to have as kids because they're sensitive and caring and compassionate. And they'll right where you set them, they'll play right there, you know. Now, we have everybody here. We have parents and single parents and grandparents and singles and everybody. But if you are a parent, who's here that has a child of any age? I don't care what age your kid is. But who has a child that is that golden retriever sensitive? Let me see your hands. Who has a golden retriever sensitive kid? Okay. How many was that your first kid? Let me see your hands. Okay. That's not fair. Okay. If that's your first kid, then what are you thinking? Boy, is parenting easier or what? You know, then little Jimmy comes along, you know, and you're going, what happened? It's not working, you know, and little Susie comes along. You're going, it's got to be ADD. I know it is, you know, but now here's what I'm getting at. Guess who the Lord gave my wife and I is. This is our oldest daughter, Carrie. Now, Carrie is a lion otter. So she has both of those. So what does that mean? Well, it means she leads the way to the party, basically, you know. And then she was a high school cheerleader. Oh, I wonder why. Well, then the Lord gave us this golden retriever named Laura. And Laura is a purebred golden retriever with papers, you know. And she's so sensitive. Now, think when your kids were young. Anybody have younger kids, like maybe 5 or 6? When Laura was 5 years old in kindergarten, we're watching TV. And right in the middle, we're all family watching TV, and it was nothing murder and mayhem. It was like Veggie Tales or something on TV. And Laura stands up right in the middle of the TV program. And she goes, and real dramatically, so we'd see her, you know, she starts walking down the hall, you know. And so I say, hey, come back here. Where are you going? And so she comes back, and I go, sweetheart, what's the matter? And she goes, well, Daddy, I just remembered I did something wrong today at kindergarten, and I'm sending myself to time out. So we go, okay, well, have fun. Don't stay too long. Okay, we'll come get you. And if you... Let me ask you a question. Do these kids send themselves to timeout? They send you to timeout, and you better like it, you know. But thank the Lord for the golden retrievers. And then there's some of us that are those detailed, organized, precise people. Okay, Joel, I'm kind of like you. I have a twin brother. Well, you're not that Paul's your twin, but my twin brother is a doctor. So, you know, he's really smart. Anybody else have a sibling that's way too smart? You know, my twin brother graduated summa cum laude in college. I graduated, Lordy, how come? Frankly, so I have a really smart brother. Well, there's another characteristic. I think God's given a lot of us the abilities that we're kind of like beavers. Guess what is on the class ring at MIT is a beaver. Guess what's on the class ring at Caltech is a beaver, okay? And what I'm getting at is beavers are the kind of people that are detailed and organized and precise, and they follow through on things. These are the people that actually have a sock drawer at home. Have you noticed that? Okay. I mean, they'll actually hang their hangers up, you know, and hell, these people have sock houses, frankly, the otters, you know. But the beavers are detailed and organized, and they follow through, and they're great people. And I can remember talking to a couple where the lady came up after I'd spoken, and she goes, Dr. Trent, I go, what? And she goes, my husband isn't just a beaver. He's a hyper beaver, you know. And I go, what's a hyper beaver? Now, one way you can tell if they're a beaver is what? They have a string with a ball on it, because when you park their car, it's got to go right there. Back up, right there, you know, stop it, right there, you know. Well, she comes up and she goes, my husband doesn't have a string with a ball on it. Now, he's a retired surgeon, her husband was. And he says, so they're driving a Mercedes. What's in the front of a Mercedes? It's a round emblem. You know what I'm talking about, with a few stars on it? And so he said, the beaver husband puts a string with a rubber washer the exact circumference of that emblem. And he said, wait, but that's not bad enough. When he pulls up, it's not level, the rubber washer with the emblem of the car. But when he gets out and his weight goes up, okay. Now, they had been married 51 years. think about it, which is really cool. But I mean, you know, and what I'm getting at is what she had to learn with was, boy, is this going to change? No, maybe God placed me here for a reason, you know, because when you put all of these together, what can it be? I mean, that can be Wild Kingdom, right? You know, so bottom line is if we want to have a strong family, let's review real quick, then you want to move toward others, because that's what? That's life. You don't want to move away from people, because the more you move away, you're moving towards separation, isolation, and death. So how do you begin to add more life to your relationship? We'll start praising each other like crazy. Now, you don't have to use pictures like Solomon did, but start praising each other like crazy. Then the second thing is realize who God put in your home and how unique and powerful that is.
You prepared a place for me, but until then it still is true.
Well, while it sounds good to affirm one another's differences, that can be difficult, especially when those differences start to become an irritation. So as I said, I sat down with Rodney Cox in my office and recorded it as we chatted a little bit about how strengths play out at home and especially in our marriages, and how those differences can become an asset rather than a liability. Now, at the start of our conversation, Rodney was sharing how the fastest growing category of those who are divorcing are those who've been married 25 to 32 years. And he believes that's because of the empty nest syndrome, where, okay, the kids are now gone and it's just us and we haven't been nurturing this relationship. So we'll pick up the conversation there as Rodney Cox and I are chatting about strengths in marriage.
For me, I set off on a journey after I married Elizabeth to kind of change the way she did things. I wanted her to do things more like me.
Mm, how'd that work out for you?
It didn't work out very well at all. But she set off on the journey to do the same thing. Mm. So at that 3 to 4 year mark in our relationship, we came to a critical crossroad. Okay, well, you're never going to change, and I'm never going to change, so maybe our differences are irreconcilable, and maybe it's time to bail out. So early in the relationship, we get a serious contemplation of bailing out. Now, if we don't deal with the issues, as the years go on, we just become more and more isolated, and we don't contemplate bailing out anymore. We just simply say we're stuck in a rut.
It's interesting, because when I first got to the church, I asked about a couple of hundred people who were married couples, do you believe your marriage will last until one of you dies? And a very high percentage said, yes, I believe it will last until one of us dies. Then I asked a second question, which was, do you believe your marriage is for the most part God-honoring and happy? And the statistic dropped quite a bit when I asked that question.
Interesting.
So I think a lot of people are kind of in a grin and bear it marriage.
Yep.
I don't believe in divorce, so I'm going to grin and bear it. How could kind of understanding one another's differences and strengths kind of feed a God-honoring marriage rather than just a grin and bear it marriage?
Well, once again, I think that we have lost sight of God's design for difference, and we've lost the ability to allow our differences to mutually submit to each other. So what we encourage couples to do is to say, don't park your relationship at the proverbial parking spot in life of this is as good as it will ever get. God is always wanting to take your relationship to a next level, but it requires you to step into a place of humility. Mm. It requires you to say, I just don't understand why you do that. It's not bad or it's not good. I just misunderstand it. So I'm finding myself in a place of judgment. I'm actually judging your motives when you do that. I think you're doing those things maliciously in order to frustrate me and make me feel certain ways, when it just might not be true. Most of us don't operate with malicious motive.
Well, we both work with John Trent, and I remember hearing him talk about the fact that in the original language that we see in the scriptures for the word life, that it literally means moving toward.
Yes.
And death means pulling back,
withdrawing.
Moving away. And
yep.
That's kind of what we do, isn't it?
Right. And even in that life phrase of adding value to, or in the death phrase, you know, damming up the stream, right, taking it away. So we have a choice that we make inside of the relationship. We choose life or we choose death. We choose to value each other. We choose to honor each other. And we choose to seek to understand each other, or we judge each other. And we don't seek to value and we don't seek to understand, and it isolates us and walls us off. So our actions, the choices that we make, actually have detrimental consequences, and we don't understand that we can make a different choice, and God wants us to make a different choice.
All right, so let's get real practical. We like to encourage people to take date nights as a couple as a way of kind of nurturing intimacy and just having time alone together and maybe talk about some key issues, whether about their faith, but in this case, about the relationship. How would you encourage couples to leverage a tool that you make available?
Yep.
And say, now, how could you use that as a great date night experience for fostering appreciation of one another's strengths and differences?
For couples to actually have objective conversation is very difficult to drive in a lot of instances because of baggage and lots of different things. So we basically have a process where somebody can go online, take about 8 to 10 minutes, and at the end of that 8 to 10 minute response process, we're going to produce a 22-page word picture on your God-given strengths and how they're playing out in the context of marriage. What are my desires? What are my needs? What are my do's? What are my don'ts when communicating with me? What's the ideal environment I can thrive and succeed in? In other words, how has God wired me? And we call that assessment the Marriage Insights Profile. It's going to give you profound insights into your marriage. When couples can gain that kind of objective data in a format that we can simply lay out in our date night, driven with a few quick questions about how this is playing out in our relationship and what value it brings and how it protects us and helps us and not hinders us and so on, then we can drive great objective conversation. But most conversation revolves around the things in which you're not doing for me.
Yeah, or emotional issues that make it tough to talk. I remember in the workplace when I would lead a large staff, I remember it was 100 times easier to have a conversation about a tough issue if we were all looking at a board that I'm writing on
yes.
and outlining kind of the objective dynamics of what's going on rather right. than having us look at each other across the table and shout at each other because we're all mad and so forth.
Right.
And we think that way in the workplace.
Yeah.
We think that way in terms of moving forward professionally. We don't think that way often in our marriages, do we? And a tool like this sounds like it could create that dynamic.
Absolutely. That's a great insight.
So I'm going to take my wife on a date, and
yeah.
I'm going to get all excited. I say, "Hon, I've got something planned for us."
Right.
And she's thinking it's a trip to Maui or something,
right.
but
right.
I have to mitigate expectations. But I'm going to take you on a date. We're going to do something really meaningful for our relationship.
Right.
And I give her a code.
Yep.
So I want you to go online before the date. Don't let me see it.
Right.
Just like I can't see your dress. Don't
yep.
let me see the results until
right.
we're on the date.
That's
okay,
good.
So that's what I'll do. Okay.
We're going to discover new things about each other,
great.
Right?
Great.
I mean, I don't know about you. I've been married 25 years, and I discover new things about my wife every day, and that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a fun way to do it.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound intimidating.
Yeah,
at all.
It's not. It's not only a lot of fun. I think it's life-changing.
Has anyone ever taken the assessment and found out they didn't have any strengths?
No.
Good. So 100% hit rate.
Everybody has them.
You know, I've heard presentations by John Trent, by you, by others about differences.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will speak to differences, and we'll chuckle and we'll laugh, and we'll be sitting in a service, and we'll nudge one another and say, "Yeah, you're like that," or "I'm like that," and that gives some help in terms of appreciating one another's strengths.
Right.
But it's really not as objective as what you're talking about, and it's not as specific as sitting down and saying, "I didn't realize that that's the way you think or perceive this, that, or the other." And so I would encourage couples to make that a date night that they plan in the coming 120 days.
Okay.
We're going to do the assessment. We're going to do the appraisal. We're going to sit down and have this conversation to learn to appreciate one another's strengths, whether their marriage is good or struggling.
That's correct.
Let's talk about cost. If I go on a date night with my wife and I have to get a babysitter and so on and so forth, I'm going to spend a certain amount. You know, that's one of the challenges of dates. But it seems to me it would be better to go to Starbucks instead of dinner
right.
and spend the price difference doing, what is it, about $20 to do one of these assessments?
Yes, basically it's going to cost about $20 to take a Marriage Insights profile. So that's $40 a couple. Okay, it's the price of a book each of sorts. You're going to get a downloadable guide that's free that's going to be wrapped into that, and we're going to drive some positive conversation. But let me share something with you, Kurt. The assessment that they're going to take is only going to talk about their strengths. It's not going to talk about their weaknesses. It's not going to talk about their voids. It's going to talk about what has God given me to contribute to this relationship, and what has He uniquely given you to contribute to this relationship.
I imagine, on average, 1 hour of professional counseling for a marriage is in the $100 range.
Right.
So $40 to get a couple of hours to really set the course of right. appreciating one of the strengths is a pretty good investment,
right.
I would think.
I can tell you that 22-page profile, they'll spend at least an hour in the first two pages of it, and it will be a rich experience. You will want to go back You can't wait for the next date night because of the positive conversation that had it happen out of the first one. And that's going to build one date night on another date night, and over multiple date nights, you're going to make it all the way through your profile, and your marriage is going to be in a totally different place than you've ever experienced before and potentially could even imagine.
Now, I understand there's also a similar tool if you want to assess the relationship with a child. Is that mm-hmm. right? So if I have a relationship with my teenager that, whether it's good or bad, but let's say I'm struggling to, conversation's not what it was when he was 8.
Right.
And I'm kind of trying to figure that out. Part of that could be the profile of the child's personality bent. Is that right?
Absolutely. What we tend to see inside of parent-child relationship as we transfer into those adolescent years, where we move from being the cop to more of the coach role, that the number one reason for adolescent rebellion inside of the family is when the teen looks back at their parents and say, you simply don't understand who I am.
Mm. Have you ever found a child who actually has the strength of picking up their socks in their bedroom?
No, no.
It's not one of the strengths that tends to
emerge.
No,
it's not there. That you do have to, there are some behaviors that are learned. But I will tell you that the high, amiable, predictable child, those are the ones that have put themselves in time out, right? Mom
yeah.
and dad didn't have to do that. And they do tend to pick up their socks and things a little bit better than the other.
But if your child isn't one of those,
no.
they do have other strengths that you could fan the flame and help them move on. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, they have a variety in the socks they leave laying around. So,
well, hey, thanks, Rodney, for taking a few minutes, and we look forward to talking to you again.
You bet. Thank you.
Now, if you want to take next steps and perhaps even schedule one of these date night discussions about strengths and differences in your relationship, I encourage you to go to ministryinsights.com. That's Rodney's website, ministryinsights.com. You'll find there's a place for marriage, and then within that you can find a 2-pack, and you can get a discount by entering the word home point into the coupon box. That's home point, and that'll give you an additional discount just for being one of my listeners. So check that out, and I hope you find it helpful as you begin to become more intentional. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.